A Benson Diary, and this starts as usual with a poem, and this one is by John Galsworthy. Where my father stood watching the sea, gale spent herring boats hugging the lee, there my mother lives, moorland and tree, sight of the blossom, Devon to me. My plan had been to write my piece for this month's bulletin from Devon, where I was for a week near Dartmouth. Alas, it was not to be. This reflects on me rather than on Devon. Our first walk of the holiday was along Blackpool Sands, that sandy haven near the village of Street, which often featured on the cover of many a brochure advertising the joys of holidaying in the county. I seem also to recall many of the trains from Paddington later used vintage advertisements extolling the glories of the English Riviera. Torquay, with its palm trees along the esplanade, proffered a taste of the exotic without the hassle of needing to speak French or Italian. These days it proffers rather less. Devon reminds me of my time in Exeter teaching history at the university. It's so long ago now, it might well be a subject for research or perhaps a novel. I lived in the city for a couple of years. I loved the gardens of the university, which were the last remembrance of its previous incarnation as Exeter Arts College and later University College of the Southwest. Days out with friends in what seems always, in memory's recollection, to be eternally sunlit with cloudless skies and cream teas, often ended at the coast near to or in Dartmouth itself. This year's weather was not at all like those of my memory. Those my memory assures me filled the June days of my younger self. It rained a fair bit and was generally cloudy, although this didn't seem to matter very much to any of us, least of all our dogs Milo and Finn, who, after the trembling trauma of the car journey, were very much in their element. We had some wonderful fish and seafood. We'd ventured a few country houses and ruined castles, and even managed Whitsun in Buckfast Abbey. Great music, including a Stravinsky Mass. Everywhere was dressed for summer. My goodness, there were some wonderful peonies in their last flush, and roses everywhere in perfumed glut. We drove to Saltram on the edge of Plymouth, where the gardens and park were just amazing. The house is a Robert Adams jewel, and the grand salon and library quite breathtaking. The Parker family seemed to have specialised in marrying well, which explains the lavish nature of the Georgian interiors. Berry Pomeroy Castle was also well worth a visit, a ruined Elizabethan grand manor built by a branch of that Seymour dynasty who notably furnished Henry VIII with his third wife, Jane. Getting anywhere in Devon requires a drive, and it always feels a high-risk business, with those high-hedged roads that twist and turn and lots of agricultural vehicles buzzing about the narrow lanes at alarming speeds. Still, we all live to tell the tale. While we were away, we have had some work done inside the chapel. Consequently, there has been much book moving and wardrobe emptying. The lifting and carrying has definitely made me feel my age. There is also the inevitable shame of discovering how dusty books can get. Since my return, there's been painting to do, which vividly brings back memories of how it was when we first moved to Benson, which will be 10 years ago this September. Somehow, climbing ladders with a paint-filled tray doesn't feel as easy as once it was. A decade in our village inevitably offers a moment for reflection. Our purchase of the chapel was serendipitous, as Benson was most definitely outside the hunting grounds we chose to look at for our escape to the country. However, as it was a search driven less by location, 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 and more by interesting property, the chapel popped up on Zoopla the morning we were setting off to view several properties. The rest, as they say, is history. Meanwhile, summer beckons, and Wimbledon, Henley and Garsington come into focus. Opera has been one of my life's enduring passions. It's not everyone's cup of tea, I know, and indeed it mystifies many of my friends. No one has ever really explained to me why it is such a class thing in England, but also throughout the Anglo world. My mum and dad were born into the poverty that was Ireland in the 1920s, which was further reduced by the aftermath of the Civil War. But they had an almost Italian fondness for music and poetry. When they were born, Puccini had only just died, leaving the unfinished masterpiece, that's Turandot, with the infamous tenor aria Nessun Dorma, Toscanini famously conducted its first performance, and a little after the end of that aria in Act Two, he set down his baton and turned to the audience, saying, "And here the maestro put down his pen." Therefore, the rest of the opera is improvised from notes Puccini left and music heard earlier in the opera. Unfinished Business is music's grace note. Mozart's Requiem is another example it would be hard to live without. And indeed, Schubert's Eighth Symphony bears the very title Unfinished, much as Beethoven only left sketches of his Tenth. For all of us, music is a life-defining business. Therefore, the death of Brian Wilson, of the Beach Boys fame, feels as if I've lost a part of my own life. His songs, their sound, were such a living part of my growing up. I know many of you think poetry, like opera, isn't for me, forgetting that those songs we love and which play such a part in our lives are only poetry in motion. Brian Wilson's life was not without its challenges, and he lived in a time when poor mental health was treated with the horror of leprosy. And sadly, so little has changed in the intervening half century. That said, who would want a world without his words and music? And he ends with an excerpt from one of Brian Wilson's songs. "I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, though life would still go on, believe me, the world could choose nothing, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you." And that's written.